Okay, this is a story
okay.
that I read. It's called The Slender Man.
Ew.
Or in German, Der Grobmann.
Der Grobmann? Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey,
welcome.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
This is 2013.
Hopefully these are the first voices you're hearing in 2013. This is a good way to start off 2013, the year of the solar flare death.
That's
what's right. Good. Well, we've got to be fearful.
We're past the Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah.
We're past
the rapture.
The rapture and
we're past bee death.
Right. Like, so we're into solar flares and robots becoming self-aware.
Yes.
And computers becoming self-aware.
Mm-hmm. And the Amish.
What?
So I found this. This is also our BYOS, a bring your own segment.
Oh, yes.
So we're each bringing our own segments.
It was like we wanted to do something new for the new year. So we each decided to make up our own segment and bring them in.
Yeah. So I have a little piece of reality TV news here because I've been watching reality TV a lot. I'm not a lot. I don't watch that much TV. But when I do watch TV, I don't ever really understand what's on because I don't know what the shows are. So I just flip through and inevitably it ends up being a reality show regardless of the channel. So even on like Discovery Channel, they have reality shows now. So this show is called Amish Mafia.
Oh.
And I saw the ad for it. It looks like if Quentin Tarantino were to do an Amish gangster film. It looks absolutely ridiculous. It cannot be real. Variety says Discovery Channel's latest attempt to exploit the non-TV watching Amish. That's the first thing.
Okay.
They're not watching this.
So they're feeling guilty already and they want to know what's going on in the hood.
Yeah. First of all, they're not watching this. Second of all, and we've already talked about this, the Amish are the same as everybody else.
Yeah, you know? No, there's good and bad in everyone.
There's good and bad. So they obviously have, every group has some kind of, they may not call them a mafia. But every group has some tough dudes who like to enforce what they think is the law.
Right.
Sometimes they're helping people. Sometimes they're hurting people. In this case.
Sometimes they're just making sweet, sweet coin.
Yeah. Sweet, sweet coin. And what I'm amazed about the Amish is they don't give a shit about this. Like all these shows that are going on about
them. What Amish would allow them to film?
I don't think there's anything against being filmed.
Oh, you just can't do the filming.
They should not be doing the filming. But look, I bet you there's one Amish guy who always wanted to be a filmmaker. And he's like, I'll do it this way.
Yeah.
This is fun. I always wanted to be in pictures. So it's a reality TV show. The title sounds like a parody. Given perhaps the most remarkable disclaimer, the program features dramatic reenactments, quote, based on eyewitness accounts, testimonials, and the legend of the Amish Mafia.
Like
an Amish...
gather around, children. Let me tell you the story of the legend.
Of the legend of Lebanon Levi. That's the main gangster's name. The legend of Lebanon Levi.
How come I'm not that intimidated by Lebanon Levi?
Well, if you saw this guy, you would be. He looks like a bruiser. It's going to be on Wednesday nights.
Oh.
Yeah. And it says, picture Amish enforcers as self-appointed arbiters of justice, exacting vengeance on behalf of members of the community. And then on the other side, they're, like, trading in secret. So they supposedly catch an elderly Amish gentleman frequenting prostitutes.
Oh,
and they're going to use that as leverage
God,
against
that's
him.
That's going to really... Yeah.
Lebanon Levi, I'm sure, is, like, all up in that. The series comes from the same people who made the show Breaking Amish.
Oh.
Which is, I don't know what that's about.
I don't know.
But it just seems kind of weird that, first of all, they're reenactments based on, like we said, these kind of legends of the Amish Mafia. Mm-hmm. And in one of the scenes, they're rolling around in a Cadillac.
Oh, are these reenactors that are doing this?
Probably reenactors.
Do you know?
I would hope. But they're in a Cadillac.
Mean, are there actors reenacting? Not reenactors. That's a whole other...
Reenactors.
That's my reenacting resume that I have. Are you an actor? Yes, and I'm also a reenactor.
They're going to reenact, but they're Amish reenactors. I bet you, if I were Amish and I were a young guy and I saw that they were filming this and they were like, we need people who look Amish, I would go and pretend and be like, no, I'm in character. I can be Lebanon Levi.
Right.
I can do it. In the video, I saw these guys. They look like bruisers, and they have mad swagger, and it's only going to be a short amount of time before the Amish get fetishized. So Amish
that's
men,
right?
We're gonna see
that's
it.
The least sexy.
Amish strip is gonna happen. You're going to see these characters. There's going to be all, you know, they're going to start to put the trappings of, you know, gangsterism on them. And, you know, ladies love. That's my reality TV segment. I'm just going to tell you about a show. That's it. I'm probably not going to watch the show. I'll watch any show once. So that's my segment. I brought it.
Okay.
I brought Lebanon Levi to the table.
Okay, thank you for bringing it.
Yes, what have you brought? What's your segment?
What's my new segment?
Yeah.
I've got Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, okay.
I just named it right now.
Really? I like it.
All right, if anyone gets upset over these things, please know that this is a comedy show. It's okay.
It's all real. Okay.
Okay, this is a story that I read. It's about the Slender Man.
Ew.
Or in German, Der Grobmann.
Der Grobmann. Okay. Grobmann.
All right. So the Slender Man is believed to be a man dressed in a black business suit,
mm-hmm.
like the ones that men in black wear.
What? Is this a modern Tale from the Campfire?
No.
Okay.
No, this has been going on for years.
Because those suits are quite modern.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it?
So back, like in the 1700s, they were still wearing kind of a 60s style stovepipe leg fitted suit. Two button.
This is the tale of the Slender Man. This is where he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Der Grobmann. A Slender Man was a man who was beat with a log, stabbed with a 2-foot stick, and hung from a tree with his arms, hands, and legs and feet all pulled out of its sockets.
Wow.
Okay, the legend is, in the daytime, the Slender Man will most likely show up in an open area with trees to the side of an open, empty road, or mm-hmm. in the woods, or any area filled with trees.
Mm-hmm.
Most reports...
You think he wouldn't want to be that? It would remind him of what happened to him with his hands and his feet pulled off and whatnot.
That's the last place he would... That's why he got so long.
Ah.
All right.
They weren't pulled clean out. You didn't say clean.
No, out of the sockets.
Okay, so they were stretched out.
Yeah.
Like Elastic Man.
Right,
okay.
And I'm doing it for you.
Okay.
Most reports from survivors of the Slender Man say that at night, he shows up in open windows, dark open rooms, blank TV screens,
mm-hmm.
and in large crowds of people.
What's with the large crowds of people?
Yeah, he'll show up, and he only kills kids younger than 16.
Oh, okay. We're fine.
Yeah. There are ways to toy with him, but you may be risking your own death. His arms, legs...
Who else's death would I be risking? Yours? I'm going to mess with him and be like, Katie... Katie likes to get killed.
You know, he turns and looks, and you're pointing at me with your thumb.
She was making a funny Slender Man look when you weren't looking. Get her.
You should have seen what she was doing with her arms.
Yeah.
Mocking you.
Yeah.
His arms, legs, fingers, and toes will stretch so that he is up to 34 feet tall with a bone-breaking sound. So it's like crack, crack, crack.
And that sounds like a Marvel comic. Is he bad? Or is he saving the day?
I'll tell you what he does. Okay. If he appears to you, turn away! Exclamation mark.
Oh, no. Hell no. I see that, I'm not turning it around.
He has the power to control your body if you look at him.
But if you look down, can I just look down?
Yeah. You can look down. But if you look at him, he gets control of your body. And then you wake up. I don't know when you fell asleep.
Oh, I don't even want to know what happened while I was
asleep. But you're tied up laying in the woods where he was killed. That's where you end up.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 547-pound log will be hanging over your head. Okay.
See, that's where they lost me. The specificity of it is killing it for me. It took me out of the story. I was with it.
Right, but then it gets worse because mm-hmm. he's going to ask you a question.
How heavy is the log? What an asshole. Is that what he's going to ask? No? You're not laughing because that's the correct thing.
They don't tell a question.
How many jelly beans are in this jar? That's what I was thinking. You know? How many M&Ms are in this bowl? Do you remember those?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's going to ask, but if you get the right answer, he will break your arms and legs. If you get the right answer, and if you get it wrong, he will slowly stick his fingers down your neck and pulls out your heart.
I don't know what's worse. Slowly, it's going to have to be real slow. If he's 34
super
feet
slow.
Tall,
it's
each
be.
A finger is like a foot long or something.
Yeah.
Wow, and that's the Grobmann.
Yeah,
are there any films?
Well, the thing is, it gets worse because it kind of, they say that he is...
Is he anti-Semitic or something? I know, there's going to be something weird.
No, they claim that he was, that people have been hearing about the Slender Man long before, dating back to...
Is slender a scary word in German? Like, it's not Grobe? Slender's not doing it for me. The Slender Man, okay.
Well, look at that. Look at the picture. That's scary.
No, the picture is scary. It could be like that thin. Well, there's already a thin man movie.
Yeah. All right. So this has been going on since medieval periods in history.
And he even wore the Men in Black suit back then.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He was way ahead of the time.
Yeah.
What else fits a man 34 feet long and still keeps him looking trim, you know? It's a two-button suit from the 60s.
The myth goes on to state that Tolman was possibly a child molester.
Oh.
And was strung up by the trees as punishment, and then his spirit survived, and that's why he goes after the kids.
That doesn't seem right.
No.
Usually the spirit comes back in a film or a legend when they've done nothing wrong.
But then it goes
This guy is getting the second lease on life, and he's huge.
And he's wearing a tie. In some cases, he's reported to have hat, tentacles, or multiple limbs sprouting from his back, which he uses to ensnare his prey. Mm-hmm. It basically is a tree that people have run into, and it's like, it's so
scary.
It
looks creepy at night.
It's a creepy
tree. Too much time
in
the woods.
Yeah.
Lay off the sauce, people. Grobman.
Der Grobman.
That's crazy. So I like that. So that's the, what's the segment again?
Tales from the Campfire.
Okay. Sell it. It's Tales from the Campfire.
Okay.
All right. I have a segment here, and this segment combines a segment that we already have, which is advice on advice.
Advice on advice is where we find internet advice that's basically...
just stinks.
And it's unqualified.
Yeah.
And we improve upon it.
So we call that advice on advice. So I've chosen to combine advice on advice, which is my favorite segment, with barnyard news. And I have advice on barnyard advice.
All right.
So this is in the Washington Post, of all places, because they just don't care. They don't care anymore. Carolyn Hacks, who I think it was writing style stuff. It says here, "Dear Carolyn, my husband and I are looking to move out to the country to grow our food, have chickens, and a few other livestock, goats and ducks, once we learn what we're doing."
They just fancy it.
Yeah.
They think this is a nice idea. Okay.
"He's incredibly excited and has started planning things out about how he'll raise crickets to feed the fish, and then the fish will fertilize the garden, and we can feed garden scraps to the crickets."
When are the fish getting into the garden to fertilize it? Don't you have to,
It's a long-term plan. They say move out to the country, but I don't think they mean the real country.
They mean the suburb.
Yeah, the suburbs. And worms, which we already raise. Now, how hard is that, people?
A worm farm.
Really.
Let's go outside and they're there.
And then I underline this. "And while I don't begrudge him his planning and excitement, he also has a job where he's away for 3 months at a time, leaving me to do most of the work."
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So this is his plan. His plan is to have a farm that his wife is taking care of, right?
It's our dream, honey.
Yeah. She says, "I feel like I have some veto rights since I don't want the crickets as pets while he's away, and I have to take care of everything myself."
Crickets jump.
And mm-hmm. they're gross.
Yeah.
"He got upset and said, I can't tell him what he can and can't do." So, I agree, but at the same time, I feel like marriage is a compromise. At what point do I have to back off because it's also his homestead, too? Now, first of all, when you start hearing the word homestead, you better look and see if he's stockpiling weapons. If he's got a manifesto going.
Does he have spurs?
Yeah. So, that's our question. And she says here, I swear this is a serious question. So that's her thing. She wants to know, does she have the right to speak up against her husband's future homestead that she's going to have to run?
Does she have a right to speak up?
Yeah. And feeling a little chicken, she signs it.
Then she signs her name.
Yeah. So then Carolyn Hacks writes back, "At what point does he have to back off because it's also your homestead too? I'm turning around the wrong sentence. This is the nut," she says.
This is the nut?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
"He can't tell you what you can and can't do, including weed the crickets or fish for the goats. Third generation homesteader." So the Carolyn Hack says she's a third generation suburban homesteader. There is no such thing as any of those things. A suburban homesteader?
What is that? I've been living in the suburbs.
These are people who, like people in Brooklyn who would think it's cute to have a chicken in the backyard.
Yeah.
Because they saw it on TV. No, yeah. That's not a homestead. It's a little thing. So she said this is a red flag.
It's a little thing.
It's a little bit.
This is the nut.
Yeah, this is the nut. It's a red flag. She advises, the long short of her advice is marriage counseling. Yes, she went
She was like, there's no.
Yeah, because she said, you've left the R's phase and has entered the mine versus yours phase. I have to say, first of all, I like the barnyard element of this advice.
Yeah.
Well done. I love that she immediately goes to marriage counseling because that just says get a divorce.
Yeah, really. Like, it's like, don't waste your time trying to just talk on your own.
Imagine that your partner is like, I want to move out to the country and I want to have all these animals that I don't know how to deal with. And I'm not going to be there for like 8 months of the year.
Oh, my God.
And you can't tell me what to do. He's not even there.
He's not even there. And he's like, this is how it's going to be while I'm gone.
So they're living in the city now. They have worms. They have worms. And because of that, I say, for advice for ladies out there, if your husband even suggests any type of animal husbandry,
yeah,
and he's not a farmer and you're not a farmer and you're not living on a farm, run. Bust out. Leave the worms.
Yeah.
Look where it's going. He's trying to get his wife to raise crickets.
This is terrible advice because she even said go to counseling.
No, don't even get out. Pack your stuff.
Go.
Pack your stuff.
Go.
Well, you know, he's away for 3 months. He comes back, just the worms. Just the worms. So
maybe that's a couple of crickets and his fish manure.
Yes. You could spell it out like Michonne.
Yeah.
You could spell
Michonne did like
I left.
Yeah.
Go back.
Go back.
Go back. So that is my barnyard advice. I don't know if I'll be able to maintain this throughout the podcast.
All right, but whenever you find something, yeah, I will bring it in. You bring it in and we'll do it.
So that is my segment. And now back to you.
Back to me. What do I have here? We have our unpopular science and mechanics.
Yes. I have. That's an old segment and I bought something for it as well. But I'd like to see what you have.
I have.
Because I'm sure it's creepy.
No, it's future technology 2013 style.
Oh, really? Welcome Gangnam style.
Yeah. It's basically here, MIT's folding car. Massachusetts.
Wait, stop. Yeah. You brought folding car last year.
I know, but it was.
As something that would happen in the future.
Right.
And now it's happening?
And now it's happening. But they had the kind of folding car where it was like a giant like sedan.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a Cadillac. Six. And then you had to fold it up in a suitcase and carry it.
It folded down to a VW Beetle.
And you had to carry it. Yeah. That's the thing. You carried a car.
It would be heavy.
Yeah.
Extremely heavy.
Like into a suitcase. It was like that kind of a thing. But this is the MIT's folding car. Okay. Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
MIT.
Yeah. They have an urban car. It makes smart cars look more ridiculous.
Why is it called an urban car?
Look at it. So small.
Oh, my God. That looks like something out of a Tron.
It does. It looks like the little Tron buggy.
Are you going to be crooked, bent over forward, like with your face close to the ground or no?
Exactly.
Oh, God. Okay. So how does it work?
So it's basically, it's so small. It's
it's an electric here somewhere. We don't even know about it.
Yeah, it's an electric automobile. Mm-hmm. It's here. You could park three of them in a parking space. That's how small they are.
Well, I want no part of that. I won't even. I drove a mini.
Well, it's after it's folded. You can put three
of
them
after
there.
Oh, that's it folds. Okay.
Yeah, it says here with its ability to fit in 1/3 of parking spaces after being folded up. Yes, that's right. Three of these things fit in one parking space.
I mean, I like that idea, but if it's really that light and small, it's not going to be there when you get back.
No,
you
got to
park in a real nice area where people just don't like those cars or have their own car.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to be picked up rather easily.
Mm-hmm. Also need literally picked up.
Also need is a forklift.
Yeah. And you get all three of them. Yeah,
or a couple of guys.
No one would even notice.
Like the Mentos guys are going to come by.
Yes. The Mentos guys. They're going to hop out of a time machine.
Yeah. But it's here. Back. It's happening. And it looks very futuristic, I think.
It looks like you would die very easily. It's all windshield, people.
Yeah,
It looks like a globe wearing a onesie.
It looks like, yeah.
Like a little tyke car. It does. It looks like.
It does. Looks like a glass ball wearing a onesie.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
No, like a wrestler's.
Yeah, the onesie.
Unitard, yeah.
No, that's not called a onesie, is it, when it's a wrestler? That has snap in the crotch? Probably not. Probably not. That's creepy. So how much are these cars going to be?
We don't know.
Where can I not get one? How much can I not
it's
pay
like,
for it?
But it only goes up to like 75 miles an hour or something. So,
do you go faster than that when you're driving?
Well, I don't think so.
I mean, I know cars go faster than that, but I feel like whenever they come out with these new things, that's always the problem. They're like, it only goes, you know, 60 miles per hour. I'm like, you don't want to go that fast in this car, people.
Yeah,
you don't. It's
It'll go over a bump and smash into.
I feel like, I mean, I'm 5 feet tall. It might be comfortable for me, but for a normal sized person, I can't imagine this is going to be the move.
Yeah. So it's happening.
Yeah. People. Right now. I want to piggyback on your unpopular technology.
Yeah.
I have something creepy here.
Oh.
Yes.
Can I sleep with the lights on tonight? Or should I sleep with the lights on?
Yeah, in your own home, but do not go to a store because they now have mannequins that can look at you and they can see your age, your race.
No.
And they kind of can track you throughout the store. So
oh, I can't.
It says here, this is in Bloomberg News, bionic mannequins spy on shoppers to boost luxury sales. So if you're doing your regular H&M or Zara, you're fine.
Okay.
Store mannequins are meant to catch your eye. Soon, you may catch theirs.
Ew.
Fashion brands are deploying mannequins equipped with technology used to identify criminals at airports to watch over shoppers. And I was thinking about this the other day because I went into Dwayne Reed on down by Wall Street. And as soon as I came in, this like a hologram thing came up and tried to sell me a shoe insole. But it was looking at me in a way I didn't like.
So, it had a bad attitude.
But it was just, you know, sometimes when you go into a place and there's a lot of technology, you're like, wait a minute, they're trying this out. Because this is not worth a foot insole, a shoe insert.
How are they going to react? Let's do something that's
let's see what they do. Like I went away. I was like, I came in here for coffee.
And I don't want
to. I don't want anything to do with it. And I looked down. Because they looked down. So these things are 4,000 euro, which is $5,130 a piece.
That's a lot of money.
And they're going to put them in the windows of places or in the entrances. And the camera has an eye. One eye feeds data into a facial recognition software. I know. That's used by police. So it tells you the age, gender, and race. I mean, good luck with that, people, on all three of those things.
Yeah, right.
Good luck.
I mean, I'm looking at you right now. And if I didn't know, I wouldn't know how old you are.
I don't want anyone looking at my face when I go into a store.
Right.
It's creepy.
Doing a rundown on it.
They claim that the software they're using will obscure your identity.
No,
but
it's
how?
Not.
They have everything.
Yeah.
The face, that's it.
That you know what's going to happen? All the it's are going to pop up.
Yeah. All the
it's
everything.
Gonna do a Google search on you, and it's gonna be like Jason Bateman.
Yeah, it is weird.
Do you know how linked we are to Jason Bateman?
I think we're like number 8 if you Google Jason Bateman. But so they say that there's nothing creepy about it, but the stores that are using it won't say who they are.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think that's
not creepy at all.
So this is technology that has been developed by the military and police enforcement, but I guess they don't pay enough. So the real application is in like Saks, I'm guessing, or Neiman Marcus or Harrods. How crazy is that? It says pretty soon it's going to raise some legal and ethical issues. I'm like, it should have already raised those.
And it shouldn't be done.
I find it so bizarre that they're trying to like always police what's happening on the internet, but they're like, this is all right.
Yeah.
This is fine. Like, you know what I mean? They made such a big deal about people's emails, about people's phone numbers, but this is okay.
Well, this is also brought to you by the people who think upskirting is A-okay. It's okay. That's upskirting is when you have some creep with a camera tries to take a picture of a woman's skirt in public.
You can see that for free on the internet.
Yeah.
Whenever you want.
But I guess it's more exciting that way. And it's like,
if it's someone who doesn't know.
A woman took them to court and she lost because it was define an expectation of privacy. Yeah.
I don't have an expectation that what's under my skirt will be private.
Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I think that's
let's see how it goes when we have some under scrotum photos. Or how about this? Hairpiece. You're wearing a
hairpiece,
gentlemen?
Oh my God.
Boom.
Right. No, hairpiece tuggers.
Yep.
That's what we should release.
Hairpiece tuggers.
We should release them on the city. Hairpiece tuggers. Well.
Yeah, we won't take it. We'll just lift and then drop it back down.
Right.
Just like
take a photo.
A couple inches, poof. And then watch it drop.
And then put it all on a website.
Yeah. And we could have a meme that says, like, drop it like it's hot. And you'll just see a toupee going up and down. Like a low rider. Like, bop, 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 bop.
Yeah.
So that's my evil technology eye in the sky. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I'm not a luxury shopper. And I'm frankly a little surprised that luxury shoppers...
like, would even allow them.
Why don't you just ask them? This is all to find out, supposedly, what we want to buy. You could ask me. Or better yet, why don't you ask your salespeople?
Yeah.
You know, if you shop at a place frequently and the salespeople there know you, they know what you want. They know what the customers want.
Or you see what's selling.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay.
I bet you in the future we go into this, no salespeople. It's just these mannequins that are like...
I don't like that.
Hey, you know it. Hey, you know it's here.
that's
our name.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah. Be glitches. Right. Jason Bateman's here. Ron Perlman's
Jason
here.
Jason Bateman wants a lot of underwear. What's happening?
They'll never say Billy Zane's here.
Yeah, right?
Never.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale's here. Is it more technology?
No, but it has to do with eyes.
Okay.
Okay.
It's the eye segment.
Yeah. This is from Misconduct's Blood.
Who? That's an Eastern European pronunciation?
Misconduct's Blog.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Misconduct's Blood.
Yeah, so
that's a place. It's a city.
It's called Mind Over Manners. It's a blog. And Misconduct. is the author.
It's very hard to say.
It's very
maybe
hard
not
to
a good
say.
Choice of name. But who am I to say? Look at my name. Anyway.
Anyway, apparently someone wrote into her and they were talking about, he wanted to know how to enforce a candy-related honor code at the office. So there was candy in the jar and you have to put money in.
The age-old question. It's not going to happen.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, they should be putting out candy for free.
Yeah.
Like, and who's...
Who's policing that?
Who's policing? First of all, like, how much are you supposed to...
What kind of candy is
who's
this?
In like,
charge of
that? Like, what kind of business is this?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, let's pay for the candy. Bring your own candy.
Yeah, it's not coffee.
You either bring your own candy and keep it in your desk, or you bring, like, a bag of candy and just stick it in the kitchen.
I have a candy bowl by my desk.
Yeah. And people come and take it.
Everything except for orange, yes.
Yeah, so she goes on to say, she's like, well, one of the ways that you can do this, there's a phenomena where... In order to get people to act more honest, you put up a picture of eyes.
I think the Soviet Union knew about this.
Right. If you have a coffee room where you pay for your tea or coffee, and there's an honesty box where you put in a little something to get what you want, you have to have you put up a picture of something with eyes, even just like a bar with eyes watching or just
what
a
about
person
those
with
Jesuses?
Eyes.
I had one of those growing up that followed you around the room.
Yeah. If you do that... people don't even notice. It's not like, hey, put the money and have just have the picture kind of having nothing to do with your candy or tea or whatever it is. Just having a picture of eyes up will make people give 30% more.
What about if I put like a moose head up there and I like in the horror movies?
It has to be human eyes.
Oh.
Isn't that too bad?
But I thought I could stand behind it and like look around.
Oh. You could still do that if you want.
Yeah. You think no one would notice? It'd be like, so weird. I never noticed this moose head above the candy jar before. Oh, well. Let me just steal some. Oh, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. So putting up pictures of eyes. Okay.
Yeah. The eye effect, it says. We do the right thing so that others will do right by us in turn. And if we believe that we're being watched or just even subconsciously think that we're being watched, we are not going to do these
Yeah,
things.
Unless you're a thief, in which case then you don't care.
Right.
Thieves are like, well, there's no one actually here. And even if there is, you know.
Right.
Maybe it should be like with the thin man.
Just turn away.
Just turn away from the picture. Yes. Then steal. Back into a room. Get what you have to get and get out.
And don't tease them.
Yeah.
And don't tease that.
That's so weird.
Picture of eyes will make you.
Here's the thing.
You don't even know it. And it's happening.
This office sounds terrible.
Yeah.
What kind of candy is it? Is there money taped to the candy? Like, don't put it out.
I don't know. And who's going to pay for the coffee and tea?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. I have movies in a minute. This is a segment that Katie came up with.
Yeah, and we did it once.
Yeah, and it lasted about 7 minutes.
Yeah. So movies in a minute is where we see a movie and break it down for you.
Okay.
1 minute.
My movie is The Gray.
The Gray.
Did you see that?
I didn't see it. It has Liam Neeson.
Okay, starring Liam Neeson. So basically...
Ready, set, movies in a minute, go.
Liam Neeson is this badass dude who hunts wolves for a living and keeps them away from places where they're drilling oil in Alaska. His life is in shambles. His wife has left him. He's actually going to kill himself. He decides not to. This is just after he's killed the wolf. He goes on a plane ride. He's trying to go home. The plane crashes, and he and the survivors have to fight a band of wolves. And they get badass down and dirty. They go for it. The wolves pick him off one by one. And at the end, Liam Neeson's about to get it on with some wolves. It's pretty awesome.
That's your movie in
that
a minute.
That is my movie
like
in a
it.
Minute. I love this movie. Like, we talked about Liam Neeson before. Like, he
I like
was
him.
A
he
dog.
Is, because he's sexy.
He apparently
has something.
Katie liked him. I listened to the podcast. I apparently didn't like him as much. But now, I'm sorry, Liam. I apologize. You're awesome.
Oh, yeah. Now you go running back to Liam Neeson.
Yes, he brought it in this movie.
But what is it? What happened it? That he's, you're like, he wanted to kill himself, then he killed a wolf, then he
well,
felt
his
bad.
Job is to kill
so
wolves.
So he wanted those. Oh.
So he killed a wolf, and then he watched it die. And I think he just started to hate. He was thinking about his ex-wife. He had nothing going on in his life. He was just really,
and
really.
Killing wolves wasn't cutting it for him anymore.
He had a respect for wolves. He seemed like my
Why did he kill them in the first place?
He took the job. I imagine he took, I'm writing the backstory now. He took the job when he was young.
And it
and over the years.
Fancy.
Yeah. But I love about the movie is the wolves, badass. They don't eat people. They just kill you.
Nice.
And they do it in a very mean way. Like, there's one scene where they're actually
standing.
Then
they deserve to be killed.
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason why the wolves are angry is because they accidentally landed in their territory. Because they got to kill them.
And they got oil all over.
No, there's no oil.
Oh.
It's just the plane crash. The plane crash is creepy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because they draw it out. But the wolves, there's one scene, because it's a human pack versus a wolf pack, basically.
Okay.
There's one scene where the wolf actually calls out one of the dudes and is like, kind of like, you're next. And the guy's like, what's going on? What do they want? And they're like, they want you, dude. Like, the wolves are...
What did he do? Like, put his paw up to his eyes, like, I see you, and then put his paw to him?
Well, the guy had killed a wolf, or helped kill a wolf. He cut off the wolves, and he threw it at the other wolves.
Oh!
And they were like,
that's rude.
I know. It's kind of like... It's a little bit like a West Side Story, but no Maria.
Oh.
It's a fantastic movie.
Are you dancing in this?
Kind of. Really? It's a dance of sorts. It's a psychological dance. And it's also beautiful cinematography.
Psychological dances with wolves.
Yes, psychological dances with wolves. It's beautiful. I'm going to watch it. I won't shut up about it at home. My husband's like, please stop talking about The Gray. See it. And that's my movie in a minute.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Everyone.
I think that was actually 45 seconds.
Nice.
Well, not the chit-chat afterwards, but that's just palaver. So what's your next segment?
I got a quickie here. Week in Jason Bateman.
Oh, he's back.
He's back, yes. Jason Bateman is an actor that
we find decent. Yeah. And we've been following him for, almost 2 years now?
Pretty much two years.
And we're going to keep following him,
and we
apparently
don't love him, and we're not sexually attracted to him.
No, but
we'll do this.
We hope that 2013, that he actually does stuff that we can talk about, instead of digging into the past. So he's done something already.
No, this is about his movie
Identity Thief. Is that what the film,
yeah,
or is it a different
thief? Yes,
and similarly named film.
There's a poster, and it's like a split screen between Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman.
And Melissa McCarthy is having a big gulp.
And Jason Bateman is looking like huh, like that.
He looks rough.
He does, and that's
you can
what
tell he hasn't
about
had any work.
Yeah, he looks much more serious. They're saying that this is a new poster that went out. There was one where he wasn't looking so rough,
mm-hmm,
and this one he is, and they put it out, and everyone's wondering why. He looks more serious here than he did in the last one. Certainly not a happy camper.
He looks thin, gaunt.
He looks gaunt. He looks a little like...
De Grobman.
The Grobman
style. He's doing Grobman style. I'm going to keep working that in. The Groban style.
The Groban. He looks like this is too serious a face for like...
A comedy. It looks like she's actually hurting him.
Or that, someone... He found out, like, his best friend's the killer.
Yeah.
And he's saying you in his mind.
Yeah.
And it's like...
It's very intense. It's like he could be in The Gray with that look.
Yeah. It's too much.
It's too much.
I don't know why... Nobody knows why it happened.
I'll try to post this image on our Tumblr, but if you just look at the picture of Jason Bateman, this is not a film that...
No, it's not funny at all.
That's going to bring humor to the game.
And she's having the time of his life,
yeah,
is the tag.
Is a tagline. And it's coming out February 8th. I tell you, Jason Bateman has the longest runway for a film.
Yeah, he does. Here he comes.
We're going to start, I think by March, we're going to start hearing about what he's doing in 2015.
Right.
They're just going to start laying groundwork for that. Because by the time the movie comes out, I feel like I've seen it.
Right.
Thank you for the week in Bateman.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Celebrity Corner, or Discount Celebrity, is on hiatus this week.
This week, yeah.
It will be back,
yeah. And we have lots of goodies.
Yeah, because we know we'll hear about it if it doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. No, we have plenty on deck, and they're going to be landing soon. So.
Yeah.
I have here a listener email.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Yay.
This is by SEB.
Thank you, SEB. We love ourselves some SEB.
Yes. Okay, hello, hey, you know it, ladies. Loving the show, especially the Halloween and Thanksgiving podcast. Thank you. Because of your advice on advice bit, I run into articles like this.
Because of it? She's like, thanks to you guys, this is what pops up on my screen.
Yeah, this sticks out. Yeah. These kind of things stick out. Okay, and so this is a question posed. It says, help, my husband is transitioning to a woman and it's making me miserable.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I actually had a friend who had the situation.
Oh, really?
Well, a woman transitioning to a man. But she wasn't miserable.
So was she married?
Yeah, they are married. So let's hear about this.
I believe
my light question. Easy.
I know, right? I believe transgendered people should be treated with the same respect as everybody. I have several transgendered friends.
Sure. Oh, so she's putting her transgender disclaimer on
right,
there.
Right, yeah. So she's
down with it.
Down with it. It's okay.
That's kind of not the I feel like that kind of won't turn out to be the issue later on as a transgender thing. It'll be the major change that was not on the table before, I'm guessing. What's the background of this?
Okay, so then she's saying her husband, who she loves very much, wants to become a woman. Always felt like a woman trapped in a man's body. And
she knew this before?
No. Let me get to it. And if she doesn't begin to transition, then she will feel emotionally crippled. So this woman agrees, I'll remain married during the transition and for a time afterward to give our marriage a chance to adjust. But she's like, I love my husband very much. She goes, but I'm miserable.
Yeah. Well, she's probably, I mean, I'm assuming this woman wanted to be with a man.
Yeah. Because a lot of the, love is, she says, my love for my husband is rooted in his manhood.
Yeah. Okay. Legitimate.
Right. And then, you know, the more that her husband becomes a woman, the less romantic love she feels.
Mm-hmm. And now she's kind of becoming, maybe he's really becoming a completely different person.
Well, it could be.
I imagine some people might remain more themselves.
Yeah.
And other people, it may be a complete transformation of every kind. Who knows?
But her husband is emotionally fragile right now.
Oh, God.
And lost some important people because of this transition.
Yeah.
So now she's like, I feel bad if I
leave. And probably he's probably taking hormones and getting prepared and all that kind of stuff. Going through counseling. It's a tough time.
Yeah. Am I a bad person and if I want to leave?
No.
Right?
No. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
This woman sounds like she's been very as supportive as she could possibly be.
Right.
That's a tough situation.
Yeah, and then the answer is, of course, people change and grow during the course of a marriage.
Yeah.
That's
an understatement of the year.
For this one. That's
people change.
I'm like, come on.
Seasons change.
You know. Yeah. Genitals change.
Genitals change.
Marriage would be stifling dull if that wasn't the case, but if your husband confesses to you he plans on growing breasts, he has so materially changed the contract of your marriage that I completely understand how you feel. It's like your husband has died.
Yeah. It's a different person. I'm assuming in this case the husband is going to be living as a different person.
Yeah.
And so if he, as that different person, can have his wife fall in love with him again, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't seem like... That's a whole new person.
That's a whole person.
It's a whole new person.
It's great to feel you still love him and want emotional support for him, but... You know, you must be emotionally fragile, too. And there's nothing wrong with you realizing your husband's change of life requires you to make your own life.
Yeah. And she's probably missing a certain aspect of their relationship.
Yeah. And
that's crazy.
Isn't that something?
I think it's bizarre that this woman is asking for advice.
Yeah.
Because she seems to kind of already be a pretty in touch with her feelings kind of person.
Right. And understanding and is pretty and is accepting of
what's the husband
of everybody.
Have to say?
Nothing.
It doesn't say anything?
Nothing. No, so it's just this person asking the question. So, yeah.
Not bad advice.
Falling out of love with their transgendered husband. You know, thank you, SVB, for sending it.
Yeah.
But I really like the sentence, people grow in jail. You know, like, it reminds me how I would start some papers.
Yeah.
In, you know, just some
people
kind of
grow and
thing.
Change.
You don't need to dip your toe.
No.
Into, you know, the waters by just putting that out
just
there.
Just dive in. It's on the table. You know what I'm saying? Like the person who's written in for the advice.
And marriage would be dull if it didn't change. So it's like, okay, they've changed, but and it would be dull if they did. This is certainly not dull, but
it does take a special kind of person to go through that process with their partner and still retain the same relationship.
Yeah.
Because people's relationships don't survive less dramatic change.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Like sometimes people lose their job and they're like, I'm done with him.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, or like a haircut. Like, you know, anything.
She's pants.
Gained weight, lost weight, like just seems different.
Yeah.
Not young anymore. You know, whatever.
A little quieter. Likes to stay home more often.
Yeah. More serious about work. Really dedicated to the children. Like, there are many different reasons.
Puts the children ahead of me.
Yeah. And herself. Wow. Thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you very much.
Where is that advice from?
This is from our advice, Slate Magazine.
Our advice on this advice is, you got great advice out there, lady.
You got great advice, but you need to get rid of
the opening
soft opening there. You have to...
People change, seasons change.
Yeah.
No. Nice.
But, you know, things change.
Things change.
So thank you for listening to Hey, You Know It.
I like your benediction pose. And
as I said,
and also with you.
Yes, welcome to 2013, everyone.
Yeah, welcome to it, the year of the solar flare.
Yeah, give us some new 2013 iTunes review. And we'll go there. Go to iTunes. Give us the review. 5-star. If you do, we will give you a shot glass.
Yeah, and we'll read any 5-star review on the air regardless of the content. Yeah. While you're at it,
send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Give us a segment idea, and again, we'll give you a shot glass.
Yeah.
You know, we're on Stitcher. Tell your friends.
Maybe this year we'll win an award or even get nominated. We're 102, I'm telling you.
I know. Stitcher 100. I know, it's very close. We're getting to the precipice of the 100 mark. You know, follow us on Twitter and follow us on Tumblr. It's free. It's easy. It doesn't hurt anything.
So,
ladies love.
Yeah. Amish Mafia.
Lebanon Levi.
I will watch.
LLLL.
Yep. LL Amish. Lebanon Levi Amish. Also, ladies love.
Ladies love Lebanon.
Cool Amish.
Levi. That's what LL Cool J is.
But he's
going to
be
Cool J.
LLLL?
Yeah. That's I'm telling you.
LLLL.
Yeah. LLLL.
Yeah. Lebanon Levi.